Hey, freedom seekers, welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sutherland, your business system strategist. And today I'm excited to bring to you another fantastic guest. Her name is Georgie Darling, and she too is a business consultant. She's leading freelancers on a mission of living the freedom lifestyle, but she's got a really fun and exciting story of her own that we're going to dive into. So, welcome to the podcast, Georgie. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on the show.
Yeah, likewise. I'm glad to have you here. And, reading into your bio, it looks like you've had a lot of, I guess, mindset struggles. We all do. So I'm excited for you that you're willing to share that with us because, when we could pull back that curtain, it makes it more relatable and easier for people to face those things going on in their own life. So thank you for sharing your story. Would you mind just opening up with a little bit about how you came to be in the position that you're in?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Georgie Darling. I run a coaching business called The Freedom Route and also a freelance writing business, which doesn't have its own name. I just do it under my own name. And I kind of got to this position accidentally. So my background is journalism. I'm from the UK, and when I finished university about a decade ago now, I started working as a news and features journalist. And when I first started working, on one hand, I was really excited to be having this big grown-up job and working as a journalist, but deep down, I kind of was not able to accept that a traditional full-time career was the only path. And I always really craved my freedom. I craved being able to travel. There was a joke amongst the office that every weekend I was trying to hit a different country, things like that. So even from really the first part of going into full-time employment, I thought that there was more to life, I guess, and stayed in full-time employment for about 3 years. And then it got to a point where the company I was working for, it was a startup, it got very stressful. And so I took a leap and moved to a tiny island in Indonesia and was meant to be doing a digital marketing job there. That was brilliant until the pandemic hit a couple of months later, and then the hostel that I was doing digital marketing for closed down because there were no tourists. And at that point, I was stuck on this tiny Indonesian island called Gili Trawangan. When I say tiny, I mean there's no cars, there's no motorized vehicles. You can get around on a bicycle or a horse and cart. You can cycle around it in about 30 minutes. That's how small it is. And I thought, I have two options here. I can either fly back to the UK, find a new house to move into, find a new job, or I can look into starting my own business. And I was very lucky. I didn't have many overhead costs. Unsurprisingly, on an island that tiny, there's not really a huge amount you can spend money on. So I threw myself into starting a freelance writing business. And luckily, it took off. It did take a while. And to cut a long story short, about 18 months after that, I started my coaching business as well. And from doing that, I've really been able to refine the sort of clients that I work with, both in my freelance writing business and also in my coaching business. And it's allowed me to just really build the lifestyle that I knew that I wanted all along. So a lifestyle that's focused around freedom, that allows me to travel the world as much as I want, that allows me to now help other women to start building this freedom lifestyle themselves as well.
Well, and then it even goes deeper than that because you're living a passion, your purpose, you're living a calling that is bigger than just a paycheck or even just traveling. I think traveling is a great desire. A lot of people have it, but at the end of the day, even if we're traveling, but we have no purpose or sense of passion, it can feel very empty once, the adventure is over. So,
Definitely.
what's beyond that, right?
Yeah, I feel really lucky because traveling has always been my biggest passion. And when I started travel writing, I thought I'd kind of cracked the code. But I've somehow managed to do even more than that because now I get to do a lot of the travel writing, but I also get to do the coaching, which gives me a lot of time freedom so that I can travel even more. But I also get to help people figure out how they can travel more out or how. If travel isn't what they're passionate about, then just making time in their schedule for those passions and helping people to start figuring out what freedom looks like to them and just implementing more of it in their day-to-day life.
Very cool. Very cool. So, what were some of the challenges you dealt with? We talked about mindset a little bit about, how the rediscovering what freedom really means. And then there's the part of living in your truth when when sometimes we're challenged with that. Like sometimes we make a decision. We make that moment, we have that momentary clarity where everything just seems so obvious. Here's this is what I'm doing. This is so perfect for me. And then all of a sudden, it's like we're faced with the whatever's in our life, you know, this bill comes up. In your case, you wanted to move or you weren't sure if you wanted to stay there. All of these like real world things that can challenge that clarity that we just seemed to, it's like, what, why isn't it just working out? That was so obvious, right? So how did you do it? How did you stay in your truth? How did you stay grounded to that? And like, what was that journey like?
It's been a really interesting one. And the thing that I find very interesting when it comes to clarity and when it comes to mindset and this definition of freedom is that I found that it shifted quite a few times over the years. Because initially, when I had quit my job in London and moved to Indonesia, freedom to me just meant not being trapped in a 9 to 5. And it was funny because I found instead that I was working 7 days a week, but I wasn't sitting in an office. And what I thought freedom looked like, I realized actually did take quite a bit more engineering than what I'd told myself it looked like. And I think there were various mindset struggles associated with that. I think on one hand, it was training myself to think about what sort of schedule actually suited me rather than the sort of schedule that we are all told traditionally that we should just be suitable for and, just accepting as part of our day-to-day life. And having to remind myself that if I did want to have my own business, then I needed to be my own boss. And there were all the blessings and curses of that. And I think that was probably the biggest struggle, like trying to figure out what I looked like as my boss, but also my employee and my HR manager, and taking on all of these different roles and making sure I could do all of them whilst also growing the business. And I think confidence was another big one as well, because I think when you do have your own business, you do have to step into this position where you make all the decisions and you trust your gut. And coming from a traditional like working environment where someone is telling you what to do 5 days of the week, I think that was a big struggle to begin with as well.
Hey, it's Lindsay, and I want to pop in here because I know how overwhelming it can be to get started building an online business. I've even spoken with people who've paid thousands of dollars for help from people who are truly experts in this, and they're still feeling confused about what direction is right for them or if their idea is even a good one. Listen, you don't have to guess or pray or hope or any of that. There is a way to test the market to ensure your idea is a good one so you can launch with confidence. And that's exactly what I show you in this simple 35-minute video training. I keep it simple because I know you already have so much swirling around in your brain. I'm not here to add more confusion because what you need right now is clarity. And that's what's in store for you in the short training called How to Tell If Your Idea Will Be Profitable. Access the video right now by texting the word freedom to 55444. Stop guessing and start taking strategic action. Text freedom to 55444. All right, back to the show. Two huge ones. I love it. Let's unpack them a little more. Like the confidence piece is popping up the most in my mind because it seems like to me, maybe once we can get our grasp around confidence, then that whole being your boss thing kind of almost works itself out. But just the fact that you were aware of that, though, by the way, is huge because I think it's funny. I was just talking to a new friend I met yesterday on a similar subject. Now, she's a realtor, so, you know, her. She's not necessarily in the same sort of industry as we are digitally, but she was saying how one of the biggest mistakes she sees new realtors make is that they now have this freedom of time where they're not bound to a schedule of 9 to 5, and so they can do their own thing, and then they get their hair done or they spend 2 hours at the gym or, you know, they're volunteering in their school, their kids' classroom or whatnot. And she said the problem with that though is then they wonder why they're not making any money because they're not holding themselves accountable to a schedule, right? It doesn't have to be 9 to 5, but it should be something. And so I think that's really powerful that you acknowledge that and we're like, okay, this is for step number one. I got to get control of who's the boss and when I'm the boss and all that fun stuff. And maybe you can share with us a little bit, like if you had some strategies that helped you actually put that into place. But then also the confidence piece. Like, what do you think was the biggest indication there that you needed to develop a little bit more in the confidence? Like, where did you struggle?
I think I've always, until I would say the last probably 18 months, I've always struggled with my confidence. And when I look back through my past, I can look at examples in my childhood, examples when I was at university, examples in my first few years of employment, where I've really let a lack of confidence hold me back. And I think the biggest switch for me, I think, was leaning into the idea of opportunity cost and saying to myself, like, you know, there are decisions that you want to make. And if you don't make these decisions now, maybe you will make that decision in 12 months' time. But that's 12 months that you've potentially wasted not implementing that decision earlier. And think of, you know, the financial implications of that, or literally the opportunities that you miss out on by not taking these things. And I remember early on in my coaching business just having quite a sharp talk with myself and just saying to myself, like, what is the worst case scenario that happens if you do this? Like, fortunately, nothing that we do is life or death. And I think kind of saying to myself, you know, it might be scary, it might be intimidating, it might go wrong, but ultimately, that is the worst thing that's going to happen. No one's going to remember the mistakes that you make. And it's far better to do the thing, to fail fast, give it another go, and then just prove to yourself that you can either do the thing or you can not do the thing, but still get over it. And I think that for me was maybe the biggest factor that's allowed me to grow my business and work on my confidence. Like, building that bank of evidence that I can do these things and either they will go right and therefore I've got the evidence that I can do it, or they will go wrong and I will prove to myself that, you know, the sky's not going to fall in and it's not the end of the world. I think
I
that was
love
the biggest
it.
factor for me.
Yeah, what a great soundbite. Like you said that all so well put, so well articulated, and like it's like the perfect soundbite for anybody struggling with confidence. That was great, Georgie. Good job. That was awesome.
Thank you,
But I
thank
mean, you can
you.
also see like that's literally what you were doing with yourself. I love the logic side of it, like the shop talk idea and like just logicking your way through it, if that's even a word. It is today. We're making up words today. But anyway, thank you so much. That's so fantastic and insightful. And so now once you had your nose to the grindstone and you're like, now I'm committed to this path, I'm doing this, you know, what was the next step for you? How did you overcome that whole like how to be my own boss type of challenge?
I think what you said about structure and routine is a really important thing to touch on here. And it's something that took a lot of trial and error to begin with. Because, as I mentioned, when I quit the 9 to 5, I ended up doing the 7 to 7 on a 7 day week thing instead. But instead of sitting at an office for 8 hours a day, I was just sitting somewhere else in my room in the house that I was living on in this tiny island. And I was just working a lot more sporadically, but probably still a lot more hours. And I was wondering why I was getting so tired and why I was feeling burnt out. And it's because I may have not been working a traditional working setup, but I was actually working more. And that I realized was not sustainable. And I kind of learned that the hard way because some of my earliest clients really took advantage of me. And like I tried to enforce my boundaries, but very quickly let them slip. And it kind of came to a head with one really awful client who was messaging me all hours of the day and was asking me to do things on Christmas Eve and messaging me on my birthday, which also fell on a weekend that year and stuff like that. And I think it got to a point with that client when we have like finally parted ways. And I thought to myself, like, this isn't sustainable. And I thought to myself, if you want to make this work as a business, then you need to be more proactive with how you run the business. Like, you need to be stricter with your boundaries. You need to think of what an ideal working setup looks like to you. And then you can actually build that and make sure that you are sticking to that. So, figuring out the routine and figuring out the structure was very much a work in progress, and it's even something that I've been adjusting this year still. So it's always been a case of fine-tuning it and seeing if it works, and then tweaking the bits that don't work, and then just leveling up a little bit that way. So
Yeah.
over the years, how I've kind of refined it is now I try and work 3 days a week. And I try and do 2 days per week on my writing business and one day, sometimes 2 days a week, on my coaching business. And splitting it up that way, I think, really allows me to lean into how my brain best behaves and allows me to keep things quite organized. So I love a to-do list. I start every month with a huge to-do list. I start every week with an even longer one. And every evening, I will put together a daily to-do list for the following day. So I think having a lot of structure and a lot of organization is a very personal thing in terms of which ways are going to be most effective for you. But for me, it's been a case of just writing everything down and trying to stay one step ahead and giving myself breathing room for basically every task so that if anything does pop up, then I've got a bit of leeway before that thing is due in, basically.
That's a powerful one. That's something I made that mistake in the beginning when I first started. I would book appointments back to back to back to back, and I would by noon be so exhausted. I'm like, this is not very fun.
Yeah,
Get
the
me wrong, I
coworkers
love
are
talking to
gone.
people, but holy cow.
Oh, I did the same thing. I remember, especially when I started coaching, sometimes I would have like five coaching calls in one day, and I would get to the end and be like, why are you doing this to yourself? Like, there's four other work days in the week. You don't need to do this all in one day.
Yeah, so true, so true. So, I mean, how do you, have you had to outsource anything, or have you leveraged using other people to help you collapse time, or maybe even automations or systems to support you doing what you do to be able to keep it in those finite amount of days?
Yes, so that again has also been a work in progress over the last few years. I have a social media virtual assistant and she is wonderful. She helps me with scheduling all of my content for LinkedIn, for Instagram. I run a private Facebook community for female freelancers and she does a lot of the community engagement in there. So the reason that I have been able to get it down to 3 days per week and to mostly stick to that is because I still write all of my own content, but it takes away all of the pressure of having to design the graphics and schedule everything and like replying to all of the comments and things like that. So that part, like outsourcing that has made a huge difference. When it comes to things like automations, so I run my business with a combination of Thrivecart and Flowdesk and Slack mostly. And I have a lot of automations set up in Flowdesk for emails and things like that. I use TidyCal for scheduling calls and things, and that I recommend to everyone. It's like a much cheaper version of Calendly and is exactly the same. So I spent way too long using Calendly before realizing that TidyCal was significantly cheaper. So I switched to that one recently. That's very good. And recently I've been looking into automations with Zapier or Zapier. Still not entirely sure how to pronounce it, but
Yeah.
I've been setting up lots of zaps on that just to connect things even more so. And that has been very satisfying to watch because I think, as I'm sure you know as well, like sending lots of emails, making sure everyone is where they should be in the process, everyone's got all the information that they need, can be a very time-consuming thing. And automating that has saved me a lot of time as well.
That's fantastic. What a great all good little tidbits of information. The Flowdesk one is something I think I want to check out. Does that actually, how does that serve you? You said something about organizing your inbox.
Flowdesk is what I use for my newsletters and things. So
Oh, gotcha.
it does have good automations though. Like for example, I have a newsletter and I have some lead magnets, and whenever someone like joins one of my courses or signs up for my membership or things like that, I have email sequences that automate things. So for example, if someone joins, I have a community that I run for early stage female freelancers called Momentum. And when someone signs up to Momentum, then there's an automation that adds them to the Slack channel and sends them an email that gives them access to all of the resources and then sends them a reminder that basically says, how are you getting on? If you have any questions, drop them here. We do Voxer coaching twice a month. So ahead of those coaching days, they'll get an email that reminds them of when the dates are, with a link to my Voxer account so they can send them. And there's, I think, about 40 people inside that community. And it means that rather than me having to remember all of these things, I just set up the automations at the beginning of each month for the specific dates. And the ones where people join, they just get sent them automatically. Like I just set them up once and the magic happens.
I like it. Yeah. No, I'm looking for something that might will organize my inbox without me having to go in and set up program it. You know how you can program it to say if you get an email from this email, put it here. I don't want to take the time to do that. I just want to use almost like, you know how when we go into ChatGPT, how it's like a live language model, you can just describe what you want. I want it to think for itself. I want to say, if it says something along these lines or if it's from these people, keep it, that kind of thing. And then I want it to summarize for me what is in there. I know I'm like, I should just invent this. I don't even know.
Yeah, no, that's genius.
It's too complicated. All emails too much.
I wonder if ChatGPT would be able to recommend a tool that does that. And I wonder if it can't, if that's something that either you can create, because that would be incredible. Or maybe you can sell the idea or like sell the concept to someone else and they can create it, because I would
I
pay for that.
know.
I would pay
Honestly,
good
if
money
somebody would just build it,
for
I'm just happy to use it.
that.
There supposedly ChatGPT 5 has this agent mode, and I looked into agent mode, and then you end up on the back end of Google, the Google console or something like that, and you have to program a JSON file, and I'm
Oof.
like, okay, I'm already spent an hour and a half figuring this out, and I just don't want to keep doing it. I just don't want, it's more complex than even I wanted to deal with. So yeah, it was just not for me. I'm like, I'll wait until somebody else gets it user friendly.
All of these things mildly terrify me. I love all of the tech things that are available nowadays, but me and technology are not always good friends. So I like to keep things as simple as possible. Whenever people ask me about like CRMs or what kind of software I use for my to-do lists and things, I'm like, I keep everything as simple as possible. Like the automations are very straightforward as someone who is a bit scared of tech, and all of my to-do lists and things are just done on the Notes app on my laptop. So very, very basic, but very much does the job.
Yeah, well, and sometimes that's the best thing with to-dos. Although there is a nice one that can be useful. It's called Reclaim.ai. When your to-do list is that busy, like you were saying, it's really big. What's cool is you can set up habits that are like, for example, say you want to, journal every morning. So you just build a habit that every morning you're going to journal between these times. And that could go for everything, for lunch, for, checking your email could be a habit you do every once a day or whatever. Anyway, then you could put in your tasks and you tell it this is high priority, medium priority. It has a deadline of this date as you're putting the task in. And then what it does is it puts it on your calendar. So, you know how our conversation earlier was about like how to be the boss and how to be the employee? For me, it was very helpful because it actually solved that problem because I had all these tasks, and rather than spending an hour trying to map out my time, it was, e and then also what was happening is my calendar was open. So people could book me when I was maybe wanting to be working on a project or whatnot. So it solves that because it literally filters in, okay, you're spending 30 minutes on this project or you're spending an hour on this project. And I could just like time block and put everything else out of my head and just bloop. And then I didn't have to worry about all the other to-dos or am I forgetting something or whatever. It's all there. I really like, in fact, that's probably one software. I canceled it for a while just because it's not that much, but I was just wanting to be conservative with my money. And then I missed it. I put it back. I'm like, yeah, that was a good one. I think I'll keep it.
Yeah, that sounds perfect, because I've tried things like Trello and Asana and things like that, and I've used some of them for my clients as well. So it's not that I'm not familiar with them, it's just that my brain doesn't immediately jump to checking them. And I think if you don't have that connection to actually using the software, then it's probably making things harder than they need to be. But I have exactly the same problem as you. I find that sometimes I will, in my head, I will lay out what the day looks like, but because it's just in my head, if I then have someone that books a call and I'm like, oh, that's the time I was going to spend replying to my LinkedIn DMs. And obviously that poor person doesn't know that that was how I'd already allocated that hour. But in my head I had. So this sounds, yeah, I think I need to download this.
Yeah, check it out. It's pretty cool. And tell us a little bit more about like who's your ideal client? Like who when you're consulting, you have a pretty specific niche. So I want for the audience here, who might be the right person to reach out to you?
So in my coaching, I work with early to mid-stage female freelancers. So mostly those have been freelance writers, just because my background is also very strongly in writing. But also I've worked with social media managers, videographers, virtual assistants, most people in a creative job role. So the people that I work with usually already have some kind of freelance business. So their freelance business is the primary way that they are making money, but they're feeling a bit stuck. They're feeling like they know that they desire more in their business. They are looking for maybe better clients, more consistency, more space. They want to have a business that allows them to have that freedom lifestyle, but they're a bit stuck on what that path actually looks like to get there. So I have a brilliant business coach, and she said a phrase that I really liked, which is like, the label is blurry from inside the jar. And it's that thing that when you are struggling with a problem, it's often difficult to actually see what the solution is to that problem whilst you are in the midst of it. And sometimes you need to take an external perspective, which is where working with someone I think is really helpful. And then they can look at the jar from, you know, or they can look at the label from outside of the jar and they can say to you, actually, this is what it says. So the way that I work with people is by basically reading them the label on the jar from outside of the jar and getting an external perspective.
Very good. Very true. It's very true. We all deal with that, even those of us that are coaches. So,
Yeah,
great.
definitely. I've always worked with business coaches myself, like ever since I started my coaching business, and funnily enough, just before I started my coaching business. And I think it's the fastest way to grow. Like, I used to be very firmly of the belief that I can do everything myself, and I would kind of accept that maybe it would take a bit longer, but I would be saving money. And it leans back into that opportunity cost thing. I think nowadays, if I can hire someone and they're going to save me time, and in that time I can make more money, then to me, that's an obvious investment. And there is a large degree of privilege that comes from saying that. But I think if I can just pay someone and they can solve the problem for me, then I would much rather do that.
Oh, right. So true. Wonderful. Well, Georgie, this has just been a pleasure. Give us all your websites so we can go check you out, and then just wrap it up with, any last thought of the day that you'd like to leave the audience with.
Thank you. So my website is thefreedomroot.com, and that is root spelled R-O-U-T-E, just because I know the English and American ones can be a little different. And maybe a last bit of wisdom. I would say if there is a decision that you're putting off because you feel intimidated by it, think of what the best case scenario would be if you do it. This is something that I try and tell myself nowadays. If I'm feeling a bit scared to do something, I do try and think, it's not life or death, nothing bad's going to happen. But I also try and think, what is the best possible outcome? What if I do this thing and it becomes the best decision that I've ever made? And that I think is really good for getting me to daydream about the potentials of my business and my future. And I think it also can be the helping hand that helps me to execute that decision. So, yeah, that would be the last thing I would say.
Beautiful, beautiful, wonderful. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you for having me on the show.